Welcome to The Beauty Construct, where we define beauty differently. We believe in helping you discover a radiant well-being and resilience so you can take care of your complete self. Today, we get to have a conversation with Lori Bush, co-founder of a new movement in beauty called Silvassa, where we talk about one of my favorite topics, food. I hope you enjoy our discussion today. Lori, thank you so much for being here with us today on this bonus episode for our upcoming season of The Beauty Construct. I've really been looking forward to discussing this topic with you today. I feel like managing stress is just something that we have seen all over the headlines, no matter what media source you're looking at, what social media you might be scrolling at the time. And I've even found myself doing a little bit of reflecting during this time. And something I realized about myself is that in my past career and in life in general, it's really always been about setting this maybe a little bit ridiculously high bar for myself. I feel like I thrived whenever I was busy, just striving and juggling. And at the same time, trying to be the mom who seems to have it all together. It's kind of how I measured my self-worth. But you know, almost always at the end of the day, when my head hit the pillow, I was exhausted, I was frustrated, and a few years ago, I feel like a shift happened, or that shift didn't happen quickly. It was a slow thing that happened, but I realized that I needed to look at things differently and just learn how to stress less and live better. So I'm so excited about this topic today and how it's going to play into all that.
Well, I think a lot of the world is catching up with you, Amy Kathleen. I know I certainly have. You know, I was somebody who similarly, I was all about my career. And in fact, in 2016, I retired and it was a major identity crisis for me. So instead of kind of resetting and starting to slow down, which I always said I would when I retired, I almost went the opposite. I just started picking up all kinds of activities, including the development of a new food product, which is something that we'll be talking about a lot more on this episode. But this aspect of setting these ridiculously high bars, I think the world now, and to some extent the pandemic, has caused us all to pause, breathe, and respond with intention and start to really think about what's important. And we're starting to realize that, you know, the little things are not so little, and that if we can just sort of lower that bar a little bit so that, one, when we do set an intention, we can accomplish it, and two, look at the cumulative benefits of making little changes rather than trying to, you know, basically eat the elephant whole.
It is. And it's, yeah, you're right. It is. It's a great analogy. I've heard you use that before. And I think it's brilliant. You know, it's one bite at a time. You've got to make those small changes to have those bigger effects. And I think that's just the way that we all have to look at life here these days, especially in this new mindset. I feel like we're all in with everything with the pandemic. So I know that, you know, stress does affect the way that we eat. I think that we all saw that during this crazy time. And, you know, you've heard, I've seen people who have gone one way and the other. I've seen some who, their relationships with food changed, some more healthy ways and some not so much. And I can tell you, you know, when I am stressed, you know, food literally becomes my comfort food. And maybe it's, you know, I'm from the South and I really enjoy that, you know, rich Southern style, you know, Louisiana food. It's kind of, it's just truly my go-to food. But I have been hearing more about this mindful eating. So I want to know a couple of things. How do you define it? When did mindful eating become such a thing? And, you know, personally for you, what got you interested?
Well, there's a whole lot in that question you just asked and in the comments that you made about comfort food and when you eat and how you eat. And you mentioned that, you know, when we're stressed, we tend to go to food and the food that we eat to kind of relieve or alleviate that stress. But there's also the flip side of it, that the food that we eat and that we choose could be to some extent generating even more stress. So it's kind of a chicken and the egg thing in many ways. And so there's the elements of, you know, your relationship with food, when you eat, why you eat, what mindful eating is. And I have to tell you, When I really first started getting involved in this food category and kind of the un-diet world, if you will, mm-hmm. and really identifying, you know, different ways and appreciating how we eat is in some ways as important as what we eat. That's when mindful eating first started coming onto my radar. But I have to say, initially, I didn't even really appreciate what it was. If you said mindful eating to me, I would say, yeah, that's kind of general. And that, you know, it's, you know, there's a lot of different reasons why we eat. And one is related to hunger, which is a hormonal thing, actually. When our bodies actually need that energy and need that food, our stomachs, digestive systems create a hormone called ghrelin. And I like to think of ghrelin a little bit as the gremlin, because if it makes you hungry, it sends those hormonal signals to your brain that you're hungry, you want to eat. That's true hunger. But the thing is, when you start eating, it takes a little while for that gremlin hormone to subside, and you're actually have nourished yourself, but your brain is still hasn't caught up yet with your digestive system. So that's why if we allow ourselves to get too hungry, we tend to stand in front of the open door in the refrigerator and just consume crazy quantities of food. Mm-hmm. That is, you know, one of the reasons that I started becoming interested in food is because I wasn't really initially interested in mindful eating. I didn't even know what it was. Mm-hmm. It really probably didn't become that much of a general thing until the past several years, as mindfulness itself has started to put itself on everybody's radar. But what I was initially interested in was intermittent fasting, because I had been doing some work with a friend who had actually developed a functional food product that she called a healthy snack. And while indeed it was extraordinarily healthy, it was something that when I think of a snack, I go to what you think of as comfort food. I want something, I'm not necessarily hungry, but I just need that little, something. Mm-hmm. And it should be emotionally satisfying, which means it's going to appeal to your senses, one of which is your sense of taste. So if you have something that doesn't really taste good, that's good for you, that's not really, to me, a snack. However, I am also that person who will eat for my health. And I will choose oftentimes foods that aren't necessarily healthy. That aren't necessarily tasty, but that are healthy. And I could generally, you know, be satisfied by doing that. A lot of people can. A lot of people will not even attempt to taste a food that they think they're not going to like. It's like that old Life cereal commercial, you know, give it to Mikey. This is good for you. Give it to Mikey. He won't eat it. He hates everything. There are a lot of people we find they bifurcate. But anyway, so what I was looking for, actually, when I started getting involved in this food category, this functional food, we had done some work with a nutritionist to integrate this functional food into a 3-day cleanse. And I, you know, being part of the board and being an advisor to the company, I thought, okay, I'm going to do this cleanse. And I actually don't mind the taste of this food, although a lot of people didn't really care for it. And what I found, though, is by the second day, I could not choke down another serving of it. I got hangry. You know, I was in that place where I was hungry. I was never getting that emotional satisfaction of eating. I just became a not nice person.
And this is with your friend's development that she was working on, correct?
That was with that particular food. And so I started thinking about, you know, is there such a thing as, first of all, a 1-day cleanse? Because I had gone to, after I did this 3-day cleanse and thought, never again, that was just too painful. I could never do that again. I went to a very rich dinner with a bon vivant winemaker in California wine country where I live. And we literally ate for 5 hours. And this was before I've adopted some different, more mindful eating habits. But this particular dinner consisted of a couple of the courses, had foie gras, there was lots of butter, there was lots of alcohol involved. And I woke up the next day in what, you know, a lot of people would refer to as a food coma. You're just foggy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my undergraduate degree is in medical technology. And so I've seen a lot of blood in my life. And I know what blood looks like after you've eaten a very rich, fatty meal. It starts to look a little bit like cream of tomato soup. And your oxygen carrying capacity is to some extent impacted by, you know, just all the stuff that's in your bloodstream. And that's why you get foggy. So I went back to that functional food product, the one that I didn't find especially delicious. And I ate it for the first part of the day and I drank tea with it. And I could literally feel myself clearing out.
So there was something to it.
So I started thinking, can I do a one-day cleanse? Is that a thing? And I started researching that. And I found that to truly do kind of that detoxifying reset kind of cleanse, it really is a three-day thing. Mm-hmm. But that's when I stumbled, and this was back in 2016, stumbled on intermittent fasting, which was just starting to kind of come, you know, into the general awareness of the U.S. population. Mm-hmm. And I started really become interested in intermittent fasting. So that's actually where it all started, is I thought we need a convenient food that is delicious, but satisfies your appetite in a way that keeps you from spiraling out of control when you're eating for your health and for the win. So, but that's not really what mindful eating is about. And I learned this later, as many of my colleagues who were working with me were saying, you know what, intermittent fasting is too narrow. There are people who need this kind of healthy, delicious food product for other health reasons. Let's make this about mindful eating. And I would say, no, mindful eating is just way too general. And the truth be told, I didn't really understand what mindful eating is. And mindful eating at its core is really about being present as you're eating and experiencing your food with all of your senses, which has benefits both in terms of satisfying your appetite, developing a healthier relationship with food, but in general about stress and anxiety management as well.
Well, so I want to kind of keep talking about food here for a minute, because, you know, your career has been in the beauty industry. And I'd imagine that developing a food product is much different than a skincare product. And then you also had the experience with working with your friend. So how did that all come together, and how different is that connection between your past career in beauty and what you're trying to develop now, or what you have to develop now?
I thought it was going to be pretty similar. You know, both of the, you know, in beauty and being in the skincare area, you're still dealing with the Food and Drug Administration, what's a drug, what's a cosmetic. And, you know, similarly, you know, get into food, you're dealing with the Food and Drug Administration. And, you know, what is a food versus what is a drug, or what is a nutritional supplement? And I thought, okay, so I kind of have that, you know, experience. I have that undergraduate, you know, degree and some experience working in medical laboratories. It's going to, you know, be right up my, you know, right up my alley. And it turns out it was way more different than I anticipated for a sundry of reasons, especially once you develop the food and then get it into manufacturing. And manufacturing was much, much, much more difficult than I ever imagined. So, you know, I'd been working with my friend, and one of the challenges she was having is she had developed these food products actually in her kitchen. And, you know, she had a science background, she developed the food products in her kitchen, but then getting them manufactured was a real problem. And that was one of the big challenges with that product in general. So what I did in thinking about, okay, how do we develop a food for intermittent fasting that tastes good? I started off by going to one of the world's premier food development companies, a company named Mattson. They've actually written a little case study also about Fastify, which I'm very proud of. So here we are at one of the leading food development companies in the world. I also engaged a naturopathic physician to help me identify what were the right aspects of food physiologically. So we had the food development company for the taste, but they also had their food scientists who knew what foods brought which nutritional benefits. And then I had the naturopathic physician determining what benefits we were really looking to deliver in terms of macronutrients, particularly. And then we had those of us, you know, from the product marketing side, being, you know, the taste tester and really looking to make a food that was consumer friendly. So that's great. We invest heavily, get this food developed, find, create three different recipes, basically, find that they taste good, cold, hot, room temperature for convenience. And then I start to go into manufacturing. And what I discovered is when you're starting off with organic produce, making a shelf-stable product is a really high, high bar to set. And we couldn't lower that bar. That was the one thing we had to accomplish. I had even taken a trip to out of the country, which I didn't want to do, to look at food manufacturers outside the country who had different regulations about bringing organic produce into a manufacturing facility. Ultimately decided this really needed to be a U.S. manufactured product, U.S. grown produce. I wanted to use the ugly produce, the stuff that otherwise wasted a lot of agricultural resources like water, because it wasn't pretty enough to sell in the grocery store. But when you put it into a puree, it's perfectly healthy, nutritional, and good food. So being more sustainable in terms of the approach. It took us a couple of years to really get to the place where we found the manufacturer, found the right way to get it packaged, manufactured, where we could keep it organic and deliver a shelf-stable product. It's exhausting even just thinking about that again, but that's how it came to be. So yes, way different than developing a cosmetic product.
Right. I can see that. But there's a connection there that I find really interesting. And I think it's because, you know, we're all aware of the fact that what we put in our bodies does affect the way that we look on the outside. What it does affect the way that our skin looks. And I feel like what you've done with Fastify does a great job of helping with that, all the anti-inflammation that everyone's focusing on these days. And even maybe that microbiome that, and maybe you can explain a little bit more about what those two things are and how Fastify does help combat both.
We all know food affects our appearance, but generally we tend to think of it as, you know, weight and body physique. But in general, there's a whole sundry of different things. And as it relates to skincare, you know, what I've come to appreciate is that it's all connected. What's going on in here impacts what's going on here. What's going on in your gut impacts what's going on in your on your skin and your outward appearance in many more ways than I think most of us really think about. You know, a lot of us think about, okay, if you have skin problems, maybe you want to avoid dairy, or maybe you want to avoid chocolate. And it's actually not the chocolate. Chocolate itself, the cocoa, is actually a superfood and very anti-inflammatory. It's the sugar. And that's where those macronutrients, the simple carbohydrates, a simple carbohydrate is something that our blood system absorbs very quickly and shoots off a big burst of energy. And that precipitates a hormonal response with insulin. And then that's what leads to the crash, because we big burst of energy and then it dips. But other things that the foods do is they affect our the hormones that our brain puts out, like cortisol, for instance. So one of the things, cortisol is a stress hormone. So if we are producing a lot of cortisol all the time, we need cortisol when we're in danger, when we're in true danger, that saber-toothed tiger, you know, evolutionary, that shot of cortisol, it directs all of our energy nutrients to the essential organs for surviving that danger. And evolution and nature don't really see our skin as one of the primary organs necessary for dealing with those acute dangerous situations. So energy is directed away from our skin, and what happens? Our skin starts to look dull. And over time, if we're in a constant low-grade situation where cortisol is being pumped out, it's triggering chronic low-grade inflammation, and our skin starts to become dull. So when we eat what, you know, people will refer to as a high glycemic load or a high glycemic diet, which is a lot of simple carbohydrates like sugars, then we're creating an inflammatory response in our body in general. So that was one of the things behind the design of this macronutrient balanced food for intermittent fasting, is we didn't want something that was triggering that inflammatory response, but also triggering that insulin response for the crash. But the interesting thing with what's going on with our brains, and this is where mindfulness really starts to come in, and things that I have learned since working with our Silvassa's neuropsychologist, Dr. Kristen Race, is that sugar gives our brain, causes us to produce dopamine. And so when we are stressed, we want that stress relief from the sugar. But then the sugar leads to somewhat of an inflammatory response, which creates inflammatory stress in our body. And there you have this stress cycle. Mm-hmm. And our brains develop a habit. I'm stressed. Sugar relieves that stress, but it's short-term, and then I need more. So when you hear about sugar being addictive, in a way, it really is. Okay, so that's one aspect of how our skin is impacted, because we're pumping out cortisol because of the stress. Number two is that high, and that relates to the high glycemic load. Now, that's just not dullness, but I have found that people who struggled with adult acne their whole life, if they lower the glycemic load in their food, their skin tends to clear up. Again, there's that inflammation component, but there's also this aspect of the microbiome, which we're really just starting to develop an appreciation of how impactful the microbiome is in living an anti-inflammatory lifestyle. And we have done a lot through modernization to kill the diversity of our microbiome, in modern sanitization and the foods we eat and genetically modified organisms, GMO foods, we are disrupting the diversity of our microbiome, and that is creating more inflammation in our bodies. And when our gut is inflamed, that actually affects our skin as well. But the microbiome in our gut also affects the microbiome on our skin. And there's even reason to believe that the microbiome on our skin affects what's going on in the rest of our body. As I said, it's so connected. One of the things that I didn't appreciate, though, which was really important, I knew fiber was important, but I thought fiber was important for helping you feel a little more satisfied, more full. I also thought, of course, fiber is important for regularity. But I've learned that fiber is not just about poop. It's fiber is generally the food that feeds a healthy microbiome. So when we are putting the appropriate amount of fiber into our system, we're supporting a healthy, diverse microbiome. And that gut health, we now appreciate, also affects our brain health. And really significant ways, especially our emotional health. And there you go, right back into the whole anxiety, stress, inflammation. So when you are eating low glycemic, high fiber foods, and you're nourishing yourself with the right kind of proteins, your skin's going to look better. Mm-hmm. That's simple, or that complex, I guess.
It is, but it's, you know, there is a simplicity to it, that just knowing that everything is connected. Yeah. And I like when you've looked at this product development, I think that you've really looked at it from a holistic point of view, and tying back in to the mindful eating side of things. Mm-hmm. You know, I've realized that mindful eating isn't necessarily just about the food. And I do want to talk about the foods we choose for a minute. I recently went to a talk to learn more about superfoods, like you mentioned earlier, to educate myself more on, you know, what I am choosing for my family. And I've heard you mention before, I don't know if it was a book or someone that you listened to that talked about food can be a great healer for your body, or it could also be a poison for your body. And I'm just curious about your take on that.
Yeah. Well, that's an Ann Wigmore quote, which is food can be the most powerful source of medicine or the slowest form of poison. So depending on the foods you choose. The book you mentioned, I am obsessed with. It's a book called Eat to Beat Disease by Dr. William Lee, L-I et al. And it was given to me as a gift because I was just in really have become very thoughtful, and I'll say mindful about the foods I choose. And a lot of that had to do with, you know, shortly after my quote unquote retirement, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I have to believe a lot of my lifestyle leading up to that diagnosis, the amount of stress that I consumed as my primary source of fuel was probably a part of it. But the foods that you eat are can actually be medicine. And while I was working on Fastify, I was invited to a very exclusive conference by some MD food researchers from some of the most prestigious institutions, medical institutions in the country. And they were hosting a forum called the Future of Food. And a big part of that, the interesting part of that was that it starts off with the premise that when it comes to food, we know so little. And some of that may be because of the financial aspect of going deep and really identifying what is those healthy components of foods that you can't create a patent or make drug claims on certain foods. So is industry motivated to really get deep in terms of the science? In fact, it's been the opposite. And this is one of the things that came out of this conference, is that the industrialization of food, the commercialization, the industrialization, is wreaking havoc on our bodies. It's causing our genetic codes to change. And to some extent, what we're eating is, whether or not it's affecting our health, it could be affecting the health of our future generations, because our genetic code is responding to the foods that we put into our body, because foods are information for our body. So from an evolutionary perspective, your body responds to what's going on around you. And so the foods you're putting in should be the information of what's happening where you live. Mm-hmm. Are you in an area, you know, that is, you know, cold climate and you're eating a lot of heavy fats? Your body responds to deal with that. With the industrialization of food, our bodies are confused. We're getting foods that have nothing to do with what's going on around us. In fact, oftentimes have nothing to do with nature. And we're feeding these things, and it's affecting our genetic codes in many ways. And that's why we're seeing generations with more inflammatory bowel disease. My son has Crohn's. How many people do you know these days with Crohn's that are young people? And it's far more common. Things like asthma are impacted by the foods that we eat. So when it comes to what you put into your body affects all sorts of different systems. And it's fascinating. And the really good news is there are a lot of delicious foods to which your body responds to very positively, including chocolate, as I mentioned.
Mm-hmm. What you just mentioned there is really where my head's been going here lately. Like I said, I went to that discussion on superfoods. I'm trying to connect the two, and here's where I am. And you can tell me where you stand on this as well. But the more I've researched, I'm seeing that mindful eating, like you said earlier, is more of an undiet. And I can appreciate that it's actually surprisingly not about calories or even the nutritional content of your food. But at the same time, you have to realize that, you know, I believe that the foods that we choose absolutely make a difference. I just don't think that we can disregard that. too.
And what I will also say is when you go out to eat, you're usually doing that as a social event. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that's where mindless eating comes in. And that's what mindless eating is. Mindless eating is you're eating and the food is gone and you don't really even take the time to really experience and enjoy it. And in fact, to truly do mindful eating and where you're doing a mindful eating exercise, it's really something that you do alone because you want to be 100% focused on the food. And oftentimes we're not. And that's okay because food there's art to food. There's the social aspect of food. I love food. I'm a foodie. I love going out to eat. I own a restaurant, you know? And what I will say is when I am in my restaurant, I'm enjoying the ambiance. I'm enjoying the people I'm with. The food is delicious, but oftentimes I'm involved in conversation. I'm not even truly focusing on the food. That's okay. That's just not mindful eating. And when it comes to desserts, I like to say, you know, is it a coincidence that desserts spelled backwards is stressed? And so, you know, depending on how we enjoy that dessert, throwing that big pile of simple carbohydrates on top of a heavy meal is actually stressing our system, which we will do from time to time. It's just knowing what to do and in a sort of a controlled, mindful way when you're not enjoying that special meal, that special time with family, with friends.
Mm-hmm. Well, you brought up a good point there. You know that I love the dessert backwards, but spells stressed. I've never thought about it that way. But here's my question is, how do you learn to use food and eating as a way to calm stress? I know that's one of the things that you've been focusing on, but how do you use food to calm stress if I'm not going to use that rich comfort food or maybe even those dark chocolate covered graham cracker bites that I have hidden under my pantry right now?
Okay. So, you know, as we said, chocolate, let's not villainize chocolate because chocolate itself, cocoa is good. Mm-hmm. Sugar, simple carbohydrates. It's the simple carbohydrates in the graham crackers that we want to avoid. But here's the thing. And let me use Fastify as an example because I developed Fastify to be that food for intermittent fasting, but it has evolved to be a food to support mindful eating in general and not just for physical health reasons, but also for, well, your brain health. Your brain is an organ. But here's the thing. Okay. So one of the things I like to say about Fastify is it's great Zoom food, right? I can, you know, have you been on a Zoom meeting? People are on Zoom all day long, which tends to be stressful in many, many ways. I mean, it's nice that we can continue to work. We can continue to be together. But have you ever been on a Zoom meeting where somebody's actually eating and they're taking that big bite of a sandwich? You know, they might even bend over to take it and they sit up. But you're so close to their face on Zoom that you're watching that food in their mouth as they're chewing. It's really obnoxious. Well, I never want to be that person. So I'm thinking, hey, you know, I don't have time to eat lunch or, you know, I'm starting my eating window for intermittent fasting. I could just grab a Fastify, pour it into a cup and sip on it while I'm on Zoom. So it's great Zoom food. That is not mindful eating. That is healthy eating. That's a way of satisfying my appetite, but that is not mindful eating. And in fact, I'm just supporting my ability to stay stressed with and not take a break from, not step away from my electronic devices, away from my screens. Using Fastify as mindful food would be, okay, turn off the computer, put down the phone, step away from the screen, sit down, serve yourself some Fastify, and then maybe turn on a guided meditation, or maybe just learn to sit, experience that food with every one of your senses. You know, even as you're opening the package, listen to the sound the seal makes as you're breaking it. Think about, okay, to get it into that package, breaking that seal, that I know that food is safe. It was protected. The seal was sound. getting that product into that food involved farmers who create nourishment for us. And I could even think about, you know, isn't it great the people who came together to make this all happen? Pour it into the cup, observe the color. If I've heated it up, smell the aroma, put my hands around the mug I'm having it in, feel it, start to think about how I'm breathing, put that first taste in my mouth and think about what flavors I'm experiencing. That is a meditative, mindful exercise that now can kind of calms the monkey mind, gets your mind in a good place. And in fact, neuropsychologists have been using these kind of exercises with oranges or different foods just for anxiety treatment in general, but for all of us, this aspect of mindfulness is about being present and getting out of that crazy monkey mind, which is not healthy, which puts our brains in that kind of a chronic low-grade alarm state, which generates that inflammation, which has now, we're starting to understand, causes accelerated inflammation. So there you go. Mindful.
Right. And I mean, and that connected straight to how do you use this as a way to de-stress? And as you're telling me this, I'm thinking about two people. I can think about the person who says, okay, I don't know if I can take it that far. That seems a little too woo-woo. I also think about the person who says, I don't have time for that. I'm thinking of two friends who I know would say that, but at the same time, they're the same friends who are always in a constant state of stress. And I think the lesson learned is, you know what? Sometimes we've got to try something new, something that might seem a little bit out of the box, to start learning how to make those small changes. And I think the bigger picture of what we're noticing here is that while mindful eating is a great thing, while watching your nutrition and paying attention to inflammation and stress and the way all these things are connected, it's that they are intertwined and connected, and that you can't do it all at once. And there is no quick fix or quick change. But if we do start paying attention to things, you know, the foods that we choose, how we're consuming them. What I've noticed personally, whenever I've been able to use Fastify, I've been able to enjoy it. My husband, surprisingly, as soon as it goes in the refrigerator, it starts disappearing and it shocks me, but he does enjoy it. But when we started making those changes using Fastify and other ways to really start putting healthier things in our bodies, do you know, I noticed it started, there was a mindset shift in our minds where the next time we went to dinner, we weren't choosing the really rich, heavy options. We were making lighter choices. And I like that. So that's one way that I saw in our life, how one small shift did have this ripple effect.
You know, and it is the small changes. What we understand about, you know, human nature and, you know, motivational psychology, to make major wholesale changes in your life usually requires really hitting rock bottom on something, getting to a place where you've had a wake-up call. And, you know, for me, I changed my diet to pescatarian, just really understanding the impact of food on the body once I was diagnosed with breast cancer. That's when mindfulness came into my life. I used to, you know, think that meditation was for people who had nothing better to do with their time. And I am absolutely not somebody who could sit on a pillow and meditate for even a half an hour. But what I started learning was adding these little things and even habit stacking them into your day. So if you think you don't have an extra 15 minutes to do something that's that healthy for your body once a day, then, you know, you're not ready to make any changes at all. But if you can allow yourself just a few minutes to make those simple little changes. So for me, one of the things, for instance, with my intermittent fasting is I do the 16-8 approach, where I fast for 16 hours and then I eat for during an 8-hour window. And these days it's even a somewhat smaller window than that, just because I find that I have more energy when I am not eating at that point in time. So one of the things that I've discovered is that a lot of times when I make my trip to the grocery store, I'm still in my fasting window. And you know what it's like when you're in a grocery store and you're shopping and you're hungry. You tend to want to go to the, you know, the comfort food aisle. For me, my my kryptonite is that salty foods. I love pretzels, and salt, the saltier the better. And they're, you know, that's just not mindfully nutritious food. But I keep Fastify in my car, and I will drink one on my way to the grocery store, so that by the time I get to the grocery store, not only am I not hungry anymore, but I'm also in a healthier mindset. And it makes a huge difference in the foods that I select and choose to bring into my house. Now, is that to say that I never eat pretzels, that I never indulge? No, that's not the case. But I do know that I have this simple thing to fall back on that allows me to cheat, if you will, when it's worth it.
I think I'm a big believer in everything in moderation. And I love those examples that you gave us about how these things apply to your life directly. That's always, it's great to have those kind of examples. So if someone is interested in learning more about mindful eating, can you offer some good sources to learn more? I know that you mentioned the case study that was done and then also a couple of books that you've mentioned so far, but where else, and we'll make sure those are in the show notes, but where else can people get really good content on this subject?
Yeah, so, I mean, we're creating a lot of content at Solvassa now because we're, you know, we've extended this idea of mindfulness to mindful eating and other ways you can bring simple mindfulness practices into your life as they relate to a large extent to beauty. And beauty we define on a much broader scale than just your physical appearance. To me, beauty is very close to happiness because it's the combination of attributes that exalt the mind or spirit. But for a lot of us, you know, how we look affects the way we feel, how we feel affects the way we look. So a lot of that content you can find on the Solvassa Life blog. It's just Solvassa, S-O-L-V-A-S-A, life.com. We also have an app that has little mindfulness integrations and practices that you can adopt into your life, simple little changes, along with some guided meditations. And we have a new section on mindful eating, and you can get the Solvassa Life app by going to solvassabeauty.com. Now, as far as other articles and information on mindful eating, we're starting to see it pop up everywhere. It's in the headlines these days. You don't have to look too hard and too far, but we've really tried to simplify and aggregate and also tie it to different resources, such as Fastify, which is you can buy from solvassabeauty.com, or you can go to Fastify, F-A-S-T-I-F-Y.co, three different flavors, learn about the different ways that you can integrate different undiets into your life from those websites.
Well, great. You actually answered my next question, which was, you know, if somebody wanted to taste Fastify or go to the app. So thank you for putting those out there. And we'll make sure that we put that in our show notes as well. And Lori, thank you so much for your time today. This has been such a pleasure visiting with you on such a great topic.
It's such a fun topic to chat with people about. And I encourage people, after you've listened to this podcast, chat with some friends about, you know, their relationship with food these days, because you'll hear all sorts of funny stories, but also perhaps some interesting advice, because, you know, we find that when we experience things together and share ideas with each other, we learn things and we feel that socialization is as much a part of mindfulness as taking time for yourself and experiencing those mindful moments. So thanks for doing this and inviting this conversation and sharing it with others, Amy Kathleen. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, well, good. I've enjoyed it as well. Thank you so much, and I'll talk to you soon. I hope you enjoy this episode as we prepare to launch season 3 of the Beauty Construct podcast series. I'd like to thank our guests today, and I'd like to thank all of you for listening. Please join us again soon as we host many more conversations to help you find the beauty in your presence. The Beauty Construct is brought to you by Solvassa, where we are a community of intentional optimists united by a shared vision of integrative beauty. We know that holistic beauty works within the mind and body and radiates outwardly toward the skin. And while this may be intuitive for some, many don't know where to start. We're committed to sharing products, tools, resources, and simple practices that encourage everyone to embrace whole wellness and beauty and live a more intentional life. I am your host, Amy Kathleen Smith. Thank you for spending part of your day with us. Take care.